I'll introduce Meg, and then, of course, Meg, the stage is yours. So Meg okay. is an American living in Europe since 1994, transitioning from legal career to leadership development and executive coaching. Meg graduated from the SAN ACTP program in 2004 and becoming an MCC in 2008. She has served as ICF assessor, certified mentor, and a SAN trainer, as well as a member of Version ICF community. Meg has facilitated leadership program around the globe, working with executive and coaches from more than 70 countries. Meg is passionate about inspiring her clients to lead a purpose-driven life with a greater clarity and energy. Meg holds a Jewish doctorate, I hope I pronounce it well, a master in business, and bachelor's degrees. She has lived in 60 countries and currently resides with her husband in Lisbon. Wow, sounds curious. I'm curious. Okay, the stage is yours.
Thank you, Ortal. Thank you. All right, I'm going to go ahead and just share my screen because there's some things I really want to hear from you guys. This is going to be an advanced, let's see, play from the start here. Can everybody see that?
Yes.
Yeah? Good? We're good. Terry asked me to take what I think most of you were probably on the webinar I did several years ago about energy management for coaches and clients to take it to the next level, because I've really been passionate about this for more than, I don't know, got to be 2 decades now. And each layer just keeps getting more and more and more and more towards mastery. And what I'm loving about what's happening in the world, one of the positives I think that's happening in the world today, is that people are noticing more and more about their own personal energy, how they are impacted by the energy around them, and how they are impacting others. So that's just in the collective, I think, is happening. The second thing is that for us as coaches, I think it becomes even more paramount or more important for us to be masterful in how we manage our own personal energy. Because if we don't come into the coach meeting or interaction with our client with our energy at least as balanced as we can be, or at least with a high level of awareness of our energy, then how will we ever be fully present, and how can we react to the energy of our client? So again, we're just taking it. I know all of you are masterful at this, and we're just going to take it to the next level. Okay. So the goals for our conversation today is to, as I say, become more aware, deepening our understanding of how it impacts on us as coaches and just interactions in general, and then maybe get some tips and tricks from each other on how we can get even better at mastering our energy. The quotes that I like to use for these kinds of courses, are one of my all-time favorites, comes from Dr. Jill Bolt Taylor, who is a brain scientist. She's had some great talks on TED Talks, for those of you who may not be familiar with her work. But she wrote this book some time ago called My Stroke of Insight, because at the age of, what was she, 36, 37? She had a stroke, and being a brain scientist, this whole process she went through was fascinating for her, and she writes about it in this book. And one of the things that she realized was how much energy impacts everything, and she was not able to recognize individuals as separate individuals. She didn't even recognize her own mother as she was recovering in the hospital. All she could perceive was people's different energy. So her mother's energy came across as being warm and cuddly and caring. There was a nurse that she just assigned to be the cold, callous nurse. There was another nurse that was really nice and nurturing for her. But she could not distinguish them by name. She didn't even know that. What she could perceive was energy. And so this quote from her book really jumped out at me of, each of us is responsible for the energy we bring into a room. So from that, I extrapolated this idea that not only taking responsibility for it, but actually being mindful and aware of what setting I should put my energy to and how can I do that? And we'll talk about that later on, but that's been a guiding principle for me for ever since I read that book more than a decade ago. I also love this quote. We don't see things as they are, we see things as we are. Again, it's from our own perspective, and this is what we have control over, is just us. So that's kind of the framework and the motivation for me in doing this kind of work of energy mastery. If you look at the, and I've taken these core competencies, by the way, these are the updated core competencies that were issued last year. And thinking about how our energy as coaches impacts the core competencies. And when I read through them, every time I read through them, I realize that at some level, who we are and how we're showing up impacts every one of these competencies, every single one of them, whether it be our ethics, because that's part of our values and how we're showing up and how we treat others and how we interact with our clients, our mindset, our presence, it, all of that. I highlighted this on the agreement. I meant to highlight number five. Oops. Anyway, if you go through and read the language of the updated competencies in particular, you'll see how much this idea that I as a coach am responsible for my own energy really ripples through all of the competencies. The two that I'd like to really focus our conversation on today is actually number two and number five, the coaching mindset and maintaining presence. So these are the sort of the bullet points that come from this idea of mindset. And I'd love to hear from you guys as you read through this, which are the bullet points that jump out at you where you feel energy plays a role, my energy as a coach plays a role in having the coaching mindset. Any ideas, Terry?
Yeah. Well, the one that jumped out at me is mentally and emotionally prepares for the sessions.
Yeah.
Because what I have to do to prepare involves my, I think you said the word setting, my management of my energy. That's what I do.
Yeah, exactly. Setting, sort of like we set our thermostats, we set our phone, we set so many things in our lives, and yet how much attention do we pay for setting ourselves, right? So yeah, definitely preparing. Anything, any other ideas of where it might show up?
I think that uses a awareness of self and one's intuition. Without balancing our energy, we cannot be connected to our intuition.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it starts with awareness. You know, how am I being? What's going on for me? Absolutely. Another one, go ahead. Yeah, please. Go ahead, Dolly.
To acknowledge that clients are responsible for their own choices, because the moment I release that energy or I release the thought that I, you know, I'm not doing this, but I'm talking about coaches in general, but for me it's the way that I let the client really choose what he wants, even the topics of the conversation, the choices in his life, everything.
Right.
And also the energy is he wants to be in the meeting.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that one has so many layers, like you say, because I know I recognize how much I get attached to an outcome or what I might be hoping that the client can achieve, or I see such potential, why isn't he getting there? That's my energy. That's what I have to control, right? And so it starts with that. And even starting just the idea of being open and curious is a type of setting of my own energy, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, can I add, of course.
And sometimes you feel that, you know, you are coming with not enough energy to this, to the meeting, right? And you have to bring something else because you can't, not dirty the environment, but leave it clean and clear. And but we are there and our energy is not suit to the meeting, then we need to work on ourselves, right? To see that it's not only them. We are bringing something to the room and it's influence.
Yeah, absolutely. And if we do more on the preparation, on the setting, it makes it easier for us to kind of push the reset button during, if we get kind of derailed. It makes it easier for us to stay grounded and to not be impacted in a coach-like way with the client's energy, okay? But not to be derailed by it. Those are important things. Yeah, cool. Let me go on just to the presence, and let's take a look at that and see if there's anything that we think about that, because this, I love the way they've reworded this competency, I have to say. This idea of maintaining presence. And again, as I said, sometimes we get distracted in a session or a meeting with a client. We need to get back to our center, you know, kind of the reset. But what do we think about on this competency, where our energy might be showing up and the importance of it? Any ideas? Dahlia, you're on mute. Sorry. It's so easy to
For me, it's the curiosity during the coaching process. For me, curiosity is energy because I feel that I have so many questions out of curiosity, but also working in a place of not knowing. I think the curiosity comes from the place of not knowing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else jump out at anybody?
I would go to manages one's emotions to stay present with the client because the head brain gets a lot of thoughts in it. That's what it does. And it taps like, hey, pay attention to me. And I have to manage the energy of staying focused on the whole self, not just the loud chatter of the head brain.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to talk a little bit about that because we're going to talk about the idea of coherence from HeartMath, of aligning that and coming from that intelligence of the heart. You know, they even say remain focused, observe it, empathetic. And the idea of empathy takes us to that heart space and that intelligence of the heart, which I think staying in that alignment really helps to get to. It's not about hushing up the mind chatter, is it, Terry? It's about, again, it's about managing it, understanding, okay, there you go. Well, again, not being derailed by it or distracted by it.
I can't get rid of it, but I can put it to the background. Not everything has to be in the foreground at the same time.
Right. And not letting it dominate or overpower you in whatever way, right? So it's getting alignment with your thoughts, your emotions, your physical energy as well. Cool.
Yeah, I was just going to say something about the physical energy. You know, to me, it's part of being able to get into that correct space and bring that energy is to manage my own physicalness, meaning, you know, make sure that I'm not too hungry or I'm not too full, I'm not thirsty, I'm not tired, I don't have to go to the bathroom.
Exactly.
You know, whatever those simple things are, but managing that in the body so that I'm in a state of complete comfort and can move from there.
Absolutely. That is to me, that's one of the fundamentals of, and hydration is, like you said, you know,
yes.
Maybe I just need to drink some water, right? Instead of grabbing the coffee and the candy, go for start with the water. Because our energy field is made up of what's going on for us physically, emotionally, mentally. And for those who, I mean, I think all of us know about our energy field, our aura, right? And it extends for quite a ways, right? What I've been learning over the last couple of years in studying energy medicine, what's interesting is the electromagnetic field that I have interacts with the electromagnetic field of this computer. So if I'm sitting here for hours and hours and hours, that is going to weaken my electromagnetic field. I need to do things to restore this space and energy. We can talk about those exercises in a bit. If anybody wants some resources on that, I'm happy to share them. But it's really important that I understand that I'm getting drained, extra draining by not being present. When I'm present with somebody, I'm going to be interacting with their electromagnetic field as well. It's going to be impacting me. So staying in, again, in balance and well tapped up physically, mentally, and emotionally, spiritually, is going to help me to maintain that. So there's a lot of stuff going on, which is really kind of cool, right? One thing is just I think you guys might notice that I'm a good arm's length back from my computer screen. Just setting some distance between me and the screen helps. Putting your phones away, because that's one more device that's impacting my electromagnetic field. And then this idea that whatever I'm radiating kind of ripples out, it's contagious. Again, we get back to that idea of being responsible for what I'm putting out there. I would venture that everyone on this call today has had the experience of walking into a room and you can immediately perceive if somebody is irritated or angry or just, right? You just sense the energy. I haven't been in a meeting room in a long time, but I can feel a lot of that when I'm standing in the line at the grocery store and people are getting irritated or frustrated. You know, that's about the only time I'm around a bunch of people these days. And even if you're standing the safe distance away, you can feel that they're irritated, can't you? You can just sense that person's having a really bad day. And I have a choice in that moment. Do I pick up on that irritation or that impatience or that bad day? Or do I choose a different type of energy, a frequency to send out that's just calm, collected, joyful? Yeah. Again, I have choice. I have responsibility. So I love this visual, this slide that shows, and I like to picture that in my head, that I'm spreading whatever the joy is, I hope. It's a good kind of joy. Or better, even if my frequency just stays at neutral, of just kind of calm, that's better than sending out a vibe of irritation or anger.
Can energy be neutral?
Yeah, well, according to Dr. David Hawkins, if you're the kind of where you're at of neutral, sort of just an acceptance, a level of just sort of, and in the work of HeartMath, if you look at their energy grid, I may not be able to get to a more positive or higher level of emotion and attitude, but I can at least say I'm neutral. I'm not in the draining part, and I'm not in the recharge part or rejuvenating. Okay? I'm just kind of in acceptance.
Thank you.
Yeah. Feeling what is. So this is from the work of HeartMath Institute. And they've been doing the work on the power of the heart for the last, 30 years, I guess. They've been around a long time. Got some great research, and I really love this visual because everything overlaps of the physical, the emotional, mental, and spiritual. And it's in that, the central part where we can get in what I call alignment, what they call coherence, where we're really operating at our best energy. And it's not, it doesn't mean that we have to be there all the time, because that's, and that would be ideal, but it may not be so realistic. But it is possible for us to have greater awareness to say, okay, where am I out of balance? Yeah, maybe I'm hungry. I need to eat something. I'm thirsty. I need to rest. I need to be out in nature. So that's on the physical side. Where are my emotions? What can I do to come back to center? What can I do to shift that? What's the brain chatter going on? On the spiritual side, for those of us in the sun community, we know how meaningful it is and how energetic it is to be reminded of our life purpose, to come back to that as sort of our compass, our North Star, to say, okay, am I on purpose? Am I living in this moment in alignment with my purpose? So that becomes our sort of our spiritual, with our compass. Right. So I've taken these and I put them on, because I'm always looking at my phone to see where's my battery, how is my battery charged up, right? And I've gotten pretty good at the habit of when I'm looking at my phone, I'm also taking a moment to tap into myself and sort of look on each of those bars, where am I, right? Because if I'm drained, if I'm really in the red on any of those, in those areas, I may be having to compensate, or it's certainly impacting all the others. It's kind of spread into the others, and I need to start thinking about how do I balance myself out. So for me, this visual of the battery levels is very helpful. And throughout my day, I'm going to kind of just do a check-in. You know, where are my battery levels? Where am I? Physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Okay. So I'm just going to have some fun here, because I realize that there are two things that, not two things, but there's multiple stuff that's happening in our world that we may or may not be aware of. And the importance, of course, of touching base and saying, how am I doing in this? But recognizing how much we get impacted or triggered in just a second by other things that we may see. So just take a look at these three different photographs on this and see if you can take a moment, just kind of focus on each one and see if you have a different reaction emotionally, physically, mentally, and let's share some things that are happening when you look at them, if there are any differences. Anybody have a favorite?
Actually, I'm torn between the beach and the puppy and the kitty.
Yeah.
What I did was I implanted the puppy and the kitty on the beach, and then I felt okay.
Yeah. That was good. I couldn't find one of those, Terry, but I would have done the same. The dog and cat running on the beach.
But the first one is very funny to me, because when they say, are you a robot? How many lampposts, where, you know, do you find in that thing? They're testing to see if you're real. And that, I'm looking, where's the lamppost? Where's the...
Yeah. I'm not a robot.
Right. Oh, yes. That's a very good... very good way of getting
experience. What are some things that come up with just a glance at these triggers things, right? What are some of the responses?
I can experience the feelings when I'm in the beach. I feel it now, as if I'm now at the beach.
Yeah.
And as if I'm now holding those puppies or
yeah,
or in the traffic.
Yeah.
I can feel the nerves, you know.
Yeah. That's the power of an image that you can, and if you, you could even close your eyes and imagine your favorite holiday, right? I know, Alfonso, you'd love to use that, that metaphor for people, taking them through their favorite holiday, because we physiologically experience that. And that's a great way to set our energy, is get a favorite photo or series of several photographs, preferably not the one in the traffic, the heavy traffic jam. But you can tell how quickly our bodies will shift when just imagine being stuck in the traffic, or we imagine ourselves on the beach, or we imagine ourselves playing with these cute little furry animals. Yeah. So that's on the
it's like, like during meditation when we imagine something and we are, our energy is changing.
Yes, absolutely. That's the power of that meditation. I don't remember what the statistic is on the physiological, that we can attain that same level. Is it about 94-95% as if we've experienced that exact thing? Maybe wow. Some of you know better. That's why the athletes go through visualization, is because mm-hmm. they can absolutely physiologically repeat those things.
I think also our exploratory, when a person sees what his possible future is, if he's going to a coaching process, and this is also something that can, even in marketing, you know,
absolutely.
The coaching process.
Absolutely. And this is why it's so important that we want to take our clients to that when we're in like you said, the exploratory, or in each coaching meeting, where we're getting them to set the agreement. We want them to tap into that energy of what's possible and to really experience it. Absolutely. And it's likewise important for us to again, be mindful, deliberate even, of what's the energy I want to bring in, right? Particularly for those back in the day when we used to travel in cars to our clients, or even coming in from a meeting, but allow yourself the time to get set, get in alignment and coherence beforehand. Because if you've been sitting in a traffic jam, you're not going to enter that coaching meeting in alignment, right? Carry the puppies with you. All right. The other, you know, I had to put this one in for us, Terry. What we wear can affect our energy. Terry and I love bright colors, right? So surround yourself with things of beauty that bring joy and love and nurturing to you, all right? Think about, what am I wearing? What am I surrounding myself with? What am I watching on television? What am I reading? What am I listening to? I don't know if this will play on here. Let me see if this will look. Let's see if you guys can hear the sound on this. I think I've said it. Can you hear it? Can you hear that?
No.
It's not. Okay, it's not working. I don't know how I didn't get my computer set up correct. It's a sound of a baby laughing, a child laughing. And I have that in my little iTunes, that and Terrell Williams on Happy that I put on my phone. Just in a second, I'm hearing a child laugh. You can't help but start laughing, right? So what are we listening to? What am I tapping into? And how is that affecting my energy? Think about when you're watching a movie, right? I love sometimes to close my eyes and watch a movie, and I can tell, okay, this is going to be a suspenseful part, or, okay, they're moving in for the kiss now. This is romantic. You know, you can just feel how the soundtrack taps into our emotions, and we respond to that. So again, start paying attention. What are you hearing around you? What are you listening for? What are you listening to? Is it something that helps keep you in a full balance coherence, alignment. All right, so one of the other things that I want to get to, this is probably our key part as coaches, is to what are we saying to ourselves, what's the language we're using, whether we use it aloud or in our heads. All of that can affect our energy. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the actress who passed away recently, Betty White, who was around for, she just almost made it to 100, yeah? Yeah. Fabulous actress, comedic actress, had a long, long career in television and film, and was always so optimistic. And I heard someone who knew her well talk about her after her passing, and said that if someone was around, Betty would say, "You know what I hate?" And Betty would say, "I don't know, and I don't want to know." She would just shut off the conversation and say, "No, I choose to be an optimist. I don't want to go there." And I thought, wow, that's someone who's really taking responsibility of what they want to hear around them. And she was quite definitive that she didn't want to tap into that energy, right? So what are we saying? What are we hearing from others? What are we allowing into our own vocabulary that might be shifting our energy in one way or the other? That doesn't mean that life's not going to bring us something that we complain about. Very healthy. Get it off your chest. But it's, am I staying in that? Am I spinning with it? Am I spreading it to others, right?
Dahlia,
so start paying attention. Sorry, Kate, Terry?
Dahlia has a comment.
Dahlia.
In Hebrew, we have such a bizarre language, and we use words like, when we want to say on someone that we love him, we say, "I die on you."
interesting.
Things like this, I am sick on you, something like this. So in Hebrew, it's you know, it's slang. You laugh about it, but I gave one a presentation, and I took all those words and I say, how does this affect us when we say we mean well?
Interesting.
But when we say those, you know, I'm yes. So glad I want to die.
Yeah. You know? Oh yes. I'm sick of hearing this.
I'm sick of, right. Now, even not sick of hearing, but I am, it is so funny, it's devastating, you know?
Yes.
But it's in a positive way when we said we are sick.
It's a positive way, yes.
It's in a positive way. It's not, this is the, right, Dahlia? This is the opposite. Yeah. When I said I feel that I want, dying on you, it means that I really love you, really.
Yes,
I know it sounds strange, right?
So, but the words we use, you know, it's what happens in our mind.
And if that's your native language and if you respond well to that, then that's your energy. If you translate it into some other language where it doesn't resonate, there's resonance in each of the words, right? There's resonance, and it may resonate one way for me or resonate a different way for someone else. So start paying attention, right? What am I saying in my head? Like Terry talked about, our mind goes constantly, is saying things to us. And if it's that sabotage, that saboteur voice of judging ourselves or judging circumstances, that's a big one. And we're not even paying attention to it, but what is that doing to me in mastering my energy, right? So the exercise that I'd like for you guys to think about, let me show you one other thing, and then we'll get to the exercise.
And you use the word paying attention, and in Hebrew, you will know, it's like to put your heart. When you said pay attention, putting your heart.
Yes.
And it's beautiful, right? Because you really need to put your heart, you need to put attention.
So I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. You're putting your heart into it. mm-hmm. as you take. That's beautiful. That's really beautiful. Thank you. My Hebrew is pretty limited, so I can do the toast for Seder. That's about it, and it's not helpful for today. For those of you, I'm sure you've probably seen this from Dr. David Hawkins, who measured the frequencies of the level of consciousness. So that, and even reading these words will send out a different frequency. And this is really cool to me where I want to be at a level of, well, we see love is 500. I'd love to be at, resonate about 500 or higher. But some days I may only be at neutrality. Terry, you were talking about neutral earlier. There's that neutrality. That's where I am. But I recognize that if I get into those yellow areas, I'm going to be draining my energy. Okay? So just hearing the words or experiencing that frequency is going to transmit a certain energy. Okay. So here's the exercise that I thought we could spend a few moments, kind of maybe about 5 minutes, kind of exploring this. Of take a current or former client and ask yourself these questions about what are the things that you think about this client? What do you believe about him or her? What are your feelings about the client? And how might those impact your energy? So just take a few moments and bring a client to mind and be real honest with yourself. Obviously, we're not going to ask for client names. I just want you to share a bit, if you're honest with yourself, how are your thoughts, feelings, and beliefs affecting it? Okay. Anybody want to share? It can just be an insight that came up for you from what you explored here.
Yeah. So Meg, I started with one client, then I kind of went through a couple, and a pattern that seemed to emerge for me was that for clients who are positive and curious and optimistic, it's so much easier to coach, obviously, but my energy level is at a higher level as well. For those right. who are more in that negative space or that complaining or blaming, or it takes so much more of my energy to try and stay positive, even if I can't even pull them there or open the door for them, it just takes so much more of my energy to try and stay in that positive space and not get dragged into that negative space.
So we can talk about some tips on how that might be, but thank you, Alexis, for sharing that. Yeah, how it impacts you makes a whole difference, doesn't it?
I use that as criteria to whether or not I will say yes to working with a client, mm-hmm. how I feel mm-hmm. at the end of the exploratory.
Mhm. If they show that, if they display that, yeah. Yeah, it's not a good fit for you then. You know, there's just not the right mm-hmm. energy level. Yeah. What are some other things that came up for some of the others? I know one of them we talked about a little bit earlier with Dahlia, that this idea of attachment. You know, I can see potential in the client I get frustrated that they're not achieving what they've set out to do. I'm like, oh, it's so apparent to me. You know, I'm caught up in all of that, and it impacts my energy a lot.
This doesn't impact my energy if the client is not achieving. It really doesn't, because it makes me more curious about me and about the client. What I felt about one client that I have, I felt the energy because he wanted so much to go through the coaching process. And he worked so wonderful. He really worked. He went, you know, a lot of awareness, a lot of new things that he taught about. And I felt that I would love to talk to this person and to work with him all the day. I mean, it leveled up my energy totally. And it was wonderful to be with him. But I think when, the energy is low and a client doesn't work, not really comes mm-hmm. to work,
right.
or something happens.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Any other thoughts and ideas before we?
For me, negative persons, people mm-hmm. and I don't know how to say it, those who says no to everything, say mm-hmm. no to everything to and close all the occasions mm-hmm. that possibilities that is
right
on the yeah. way, it drained my energy down.
Absolutely. So what are some of the strategies that we might think about if we have those clients that are draining? And I can get to some tips on physically and some exercises to do, but I'm getting back to this idea of our core competencies. What am I responsible for as the coach of holding that sacred space for the client to explore and have greater awareness? What are some coach things that I can do that might
I feel when I don't put a lot of effort and I mm-hmm. give them mm-hmm. the space to bring themselves, they are doing their job, their work. If I start to explain and to put more words in the between us, then it's I want to help, right? So I then it's not working. They feel that they need to defend their ideas, they defend themselves. So I can put one question, you know, on the space and leave it there. Yeah. If you want to answer, good. If not, it's fine too. I feel the difference in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Most of the two last year that it's.
Yeah.
Less words. Then when I put my words there, it's not working well. Yeah.
So that's a great example, because when we start doing, I love when you said explaining, because where does explanation come from? Comes from our heads, puts us back into our heads, back into our thoughts. If we get to our heart space and get back to just, let me just hold the space. And I've been doing a lot of this for the longest time and realize that if I just tap into the energy of just holding space and coming from the heart, breathing into my heart and holding that space, things start to shift in the client. Again, think about getting back to the idea that our energy is contagious, shifting from frustration or in that I need to explain it or this or that. Let me just hit the reset button. Let me just breathe. Let's just breathe. Okay. And maybe not say anything, but think in that moment, what's an energy that will be calming in this moment? First calming to me, and then that's going to spread to the client. So we're not going to solve all the world's problems in this short conversation today, but just start thinking about what you might do energetically, not with anything, any words at all, just energetically in that moment. The other thing that I wonder if it might be a possibility is to actually be transparent with your client. Let's educate our clients to this idea of energy management and maybe say, wow, you know, your language, you know, I find myself getting stressed. Let me, I need to kind of shift this. Charlotte, you do so much of this with NLP, right? I mean, just shifting the energy, just moving it around, changing positions and sharing with the client, this is what's happening to my energy. What's going on for you energetically? Because rest assured, if they're in that negativity, their energy is not so aligned either, right? And maybe that will open up a door to all kinds of great conversations and awareness. Part of our job is to create that space so there's greater awareness for the client, right? Fostering awareness. So be willing to be open and transparent and curious about what's going on. I see that we're coming up. I get so passionate about this, I could talk forever, as you know, but I kind of want to give us a couple of tips that I was, we talked about judging, back to our competencies, which for me kind of serve as an anchor place for what am I really here to do. But I thought I'd give you guys some tips on a couple of things that you might want to do, particularly if you're doing screen time, if you're doing virtual with clients, but you can also do these in face-to-face with them. As I said, it starts with awareness. Awareness for me first, and then maybe sharing that. So let's just, right now, go focus on our heart and take a few deep breaths from our heart space of heart-centered or heart-focused breathing. So if we take in three deep breaths from our heart space and imagine a feeling of calm, you can bring to mind something that you're grateful for, a feeling of gratitude or compassion. And just breathe that in a few more times. It's a simple exercise that you can do for yourself silently or you can do with your client. The other one is what I've got this picture here. It's called the wings of strength. You just kind of rub your hands together and actually just stretch your arms out in every direction, up and sideways, and up and down. If you want to stand and move around, this one just expands that aura, that electric field gives you more energy. Yeah, it feels really good. You can, again, do that with your client. As I mentioned earlier, this screen time really starts to reduce our electromagnetic field around us and puts our energies in this way when they're supposed to be like a helix. So one other thing you can do is simply just cross your arms and rest your hands. You can't see what I'm doing here. Just rest my hands like this across my heart. It's easy to do on screen because people can't really see you, right? Just by doing this alone, any kind of crossing of the energies helps to get us back into alignment of our natural energy flow, which is, as I say, in this figure eight. You can do figure eights with your hands, one hand, both hands. You can do this, again, off camera so that your client doesn't see you doing it. That's a great one for clearing energy. I do this before I get on the computer call. I can do it after I'm on the call. Sometimes during the call, do a figure eight. Do it with your clients. It doesn't take long to do something simple to readjust and rebalance your energy. So get, and if anybody wants some resources, get in touch with me. I'm happy to share those. But those, particularly on screen time, because you'll find that it gets even more draining. Do them for yourself, do them with your client. And then these things that we've already talked about of taking care of yourself to recharge. Play is a good one. Sleeping, good healthy food, movement.
nature and stay hydrated. Being on screen really drains your hydration as well. All right. I see that I've got 1 minute. That's it.
Meg, only to say that Suzette had to leave, and she said thank you very much because she has a meeting now.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much.